In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, Team Grace, the days of the Easter season are an invitation for each of us to walk with the risen Christ, just as the apostles and the disciples did over 2,000 years ago. Two millennia have passed, but the journey is the same. We are invited to walk with the Lord and to learn his gospel and to explore the depth of his Paschal mystery. There are many lessons God has for each one of us. Some of them are very specific and particular to us. Other lessons are more universal and meant for all of us. It is these universal lessons that we've been focusing on as a parish family. Let's go to the most fundamental of all the lessons of the resurrection, namely that we are called as the children of God to walk and live with a supernatural worldview. We are not defined by this world or its fallen, passing ideologies. The supernatural worldview calls us first to a surrender to divine providence, since the presence and the workings of God are oftentimes surrounded in mystery. A surrender to divine providence is especially true of God's permissive will as he permits evil to happen. It's difficult to accept that the evil and sin, sufferings and hardships of our life are a part of God's will, and yet we are called to surrender to the goodness of his providence and to declare, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. As we talk about a supernatural worldview and a surrender to divine providence, I want to pause and address an important clarification. The secular mind, deluded by its lies and attempts to define reality on its own terms, and the Western mind in particular today, which has been influenced by Buddhism and other forms of Eastern philosophies, tends to approach reality as if there is a battle between good and evil within existence itself. No such battle exists. Everything is good. Evil is understood as a privation, a taking away of the good that's there. And so life is either good or deprived of its goodness. There isn't such an existential reality called evil that's in conflict with good. I want to stress that everything is good. All creation existence is good. Evil is a privation, a taking away, an anti-reality, a nothing, a cancer of the soul and of existence. We either have goodness or we have deprivation. The battle between good and evil exists in the human heart, not in existence itself. The battle is whether we will cooperate with grace and pursue goodness or engage in evil and slowly commit a spiritual, existential cannibalism of our own souls. That's how we see good and evil. There is no yin and yang. There is no equal battle between good and evil in existence. Good triumphs. Everything has been made by God. All things created by him are good. Goodness is the foundation, the reality of everything, the identity of all that is and all that exists. So with this in mind, let's remind ourselves of the importance of the grace of the sacraments in order to say yes, to respond to goodness. Let's stress the importance of an active prayer life so we can fan that grace into flame. And let's not forget the importance of the theological virtue of hope. Remember, dear friends, hope is a confidence, a trust in God, not in ourselves, not in our human abilities, not in the human spirit. All that is arrogance and pride. Hope is in God alone. Now, we've applied these realities in our lives. Last week, we specifically applied all of these realities to the call and the challenge of mercy. In the early church, the claim of the Lord's resurrection was taken seriously by the unbelievers because of the mercy of the Christians. We can be unaware that mercy was rare in the ancient world. It was considered effeminate and weak. You didn't show mercy. You crushed and destroyed your enemies. You sought and lived by vengeance. It was we Christians who normalized mercy and established it as a virtue in a civilized society. As we were able to be trailblazers of mercy, we were only able to be those trailblazers because of the resurrection and the supernatural worldview that it offers us in our surrender to divine providence. as we addressed last week. If we don't have a theological worldview, we're not surrendering to divine providence, we will imitate the unbeliever in our thirst and quench for vengeance. It is only the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the truths that are given to us in that mystery that allows us to be a people of mercy. This Sunday, I'd like to bring many of these realities of the resurrection together into one simple claim we make as Christians. Jesus Christ, suffering and dying on the cross, is offering to God the highest form of praise. Jesus Christ, suffering and dying on the cross, is offering to God the highest form of praise. The Lord's suffering and death are so preeminent that it is this sacrifice that is represented, made present by the power of the Holy Spirit at every Catholic Mass throughout the ages. But wait. Just wait a minute. We have to back up and realize what we're saying. We have perhaps become so used to hearing or saying such a thing that the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ is the highest form of praise of God, that we've allowed it to become so domesticated in our minds and hearts that we forget the horror of what we're actually saying. The torture, the beatings, the mockery, and the crucifixion of the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the highest praise offered to God. Do you believe that, friends? Believing, truly believing, that declaration is the basis of Christian discipleship. It's the core of declaring Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives and of our faithful following of his most excellent way of love. Have we become immune to the shock of it all? Has the tempering of our reaction led us to a misunderstanding of suffering and of its place in our lives? Do we realize that as Christians, there is nothing that should surprise us when it comes to suffering? There should be no evil or brokenness that unsettles us as Christian believers. We literally worship the living God who was brutalized and died on a cross. It's all downhill from there. How can we claim any surprise on anything? And so it all goes back to the cross. And from the cross to the glorious resurrection. We have to struggle to walk the way of the cross if we're going to truly walk in the glory of the resurrection. The grace of the sacraments, an active prayer life, the theological virtue of hope, all that is given to us in order to remain faithful to the way of the cross. We have to struggle to walk that way if we are going to share in the resurrection. No cross, no crown. And walking the way of the cross means that we surrender to divine providence. We accept the crosses given to us in this life. We carry them faithfully. And we offer up our sufferings with those of the Lord Jesus. Suffering with the Lord Jesus is the path of love. It is the path of happiness in this life. It is the path to eternal life. Yes, it all begins and culminates in the cross. St. Teresa of Avila reminds us of this truth when she says that in this life we either embrace the cross or we are dragged by it. As Christians, we don't fall into entitlement or self-pity. We don't feed a misplaced melancholy or feel sorry for ourselves. We don't act like victims. We know what's going on. It has been shown to us. It has been revealed to us. We don't accuse God of being cruel or negligent or belligerent. That is the cry of the unbeliever who does not know the resurrection, who does not understand divine providence. We know the cross and what comes with it. At least we're supposed to. Unless we have allowed ourselves to be so deluded by our secular society that we have forgotten that our entire way of life is the way of the cross. And we cannot act shocked or surprised when there is suffering given to us by a fallen world. We know how this all ends. And it's not in darkness. The end is the victory of love, the triumph of light, and fellowship with the divine family of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The end is finally sharing in the glory of the risen Christ for all eternity. But we have to fight for that, labor for that, suffer for that. That's the goal of the Christian way of life. And it only happens by way of the cross. And so we embrace the cross. And as Christians, we are called to offer up our sufferings. This offering up is literally called redemptive suffering, since it works out both our redemption and the redemption of the entire world. As Christians, when we unite our sufferings with those of Christ, not only are we working out our salvation, we are contributing to the Lord's own work of salvation to redeem the entire world. When we suffer, we do not complain. We pray. We do not moan and groan. We exercise virtue and even manifest joy in the midst of our sufferings. We do not denounce or criticize. We accept and embrace our sufferings. We do not fall into desolation and despair. We live as witnesses to hope, and we look to the risen Christ as the fulfillment of all our wants and desires in this life, and we yearn and pine for eternal fellowship with God. This is what it means to live in the glory of the resurrection. This is what it means to look at Jesus Christ, the crucified one, and to say, I will follow you. There are so many Christians today who say, I will follow the Lord, I will follow the crucified one, but then the cross comes in whatever form, health, finances, broken relationships, difficulty, the list goes on, all the above, and they act surprised. We even have some believers who say, I can't believe in God anymore because he's allowed this. Allowed what? Did you not know this was a fallen world? Did you think somehow because you chose to follow the crucified one that you were going to be spared from suffering? Newsflash, dear friends. Read the Gospels. The Lord tells us that as his disciples, we will actually suffer more. Because not only is there the brokenness and the sinfulness of the world, but there's the moral sufferings that come. Which is why so many of us grieve when loved ones abandon the faith. Which is why we grieve when we see people that we love or even ourselves fall into grave sin. We have the moral sufferings combined with the sufferings of a fallen world. But we cannot act surprised. If any Christian acts surprised because suddenly they've been diagnosed with some difficulty or their financial problems or a relationship is on the rocks, it's just because they've been deluding themselves the entire time and not understanding exactly whom it is that they are worshiping. Because make no mistake about it, dear friends. There is no resurrection without the cross. And in God's divine providence, we know that he has so orchestrated and organized the things of our life that everything has been done in such a way that we might work out our salvation in him. That we might seek and receive salvation in Jesus Christ. Everything that happens, even the most horrible of things, have been so permitted by God in order that the greater good might be brought forth, that you might receive his grace, that we receive that grace and work out our salvation. But imagine when providence does such a thing. So shows such particular care and attention to us. And rather than responding to grace and embracing the cross, as Christians, followers of the crucified one, instead, what is meant as an opportunity of grace, instead becomes an opportunity for entitlement, self-pity, complaint, and desolation. Because someone has forgotten exactly what they have declared. And because someone has forgotten exactly whom they are following. We are following the cross. I've said before, Team Grace, when people say, I can't believe I got cancer. I can't believe we don't all have cancer. Someone says, I can't believe we have Alzheimer's. I can't believe we don't all have Alzheimer's. I can't believe we have so many wars going on. I can't believe the entire world's not at war right now. You see, the world looks at the scandal of evil. I look at the scandal of the good. The fact that in the midst of a fallen world we have any good is itself an indication of the workings of God's grace. For we are fallen and broken. We are arrogant and proud. We seek our own destruction. My goodness, we've created nuclear bombs. We can literally destroy this planet. So do not let the brokenness of the fallenness surprise you, for we are Christians. We have been told about this world, and we have been given the grace to work out our salvation in the midst of it, to triumph over evil, and to allow good to be victorious, to walk through the valley of darkness into the bosom of our Heavenly Father. That's our task, dear friends. That's what we have said yes to. That's the work that is placed before us. And so do not be surprised by the cross, for it will come and it will continue to come. But rather embrace the cross. Unite your sufferings with Jesus Christ, so that by sharing in his cross, you might, we all might, one day share in his resurrection.